Well, today I want to go in a direction that I believe in our society needs to learn more about. Because we as Christians, we can say one thing to our brother and sister in Christ, or we can say something to the world, and all of a sudden we become the accuser. We become the judge. We are intolerable. We have no acceptance in our life. So today, it's going to be on the topic of judgment and discernment. How about that for a Sunday morning topic? You know, you've heard statements saying, don't judge unless ye be judged. Have you heard that before, right? Or the Bible says, don't judge others. That's what it says. You know, people usually get offended and say, don't judge me, even though their life is probably questionable in their walk with Christ. Even though we can call something for what it is, some will still say, don't judge me. You're not called to judge me. Only God can judge. Well, there's a half truth to that kind of statement. Also, have you ever been really critical of someone, and maybe you have a difficult time getting past some stuff in somebody else's life? Have you been there, right? Well, if I were to ask you to write down at least three sins in someone else's life that is causing that particular person to be off course, what would those sins be? Now, you don't have to write them down, or unless somebody's just really hacking you off, you can get a sticky note, and when they're not looking, put those three sins on the back and just say, hey, how you doing? And let them go around with those three sins in their life. Isn't that great? But think about that. Now, just think about in your head what those things might be. Now, here's what I want you to do when you think about that. I want you to look at yourself. Any of those sins, your sins, are they yours? Have they been sins that you have been struggling with as well? Or have they been sins in your life in the past that now that you overcome, that you can also probably help somebody through? You see, it's easy to spot someone else's sin, or sins, plural, and neglect our very own sin in our life, isn't it? So today, I would like to share some of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 7. So go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 7 this morning, and let's discover what he meant by this topic on judging others. Stand with me, get your Bibles, and you're going to see some words on the screen. Colton, are we ready to go, my brother? Colton's up there. Give it up for Colton. Thank you so much, Colton. Woo! All right. You got them? Or your iPhone, whatever you read Scripture with, let's get them out. This is my Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, hide his words in my heart. Gosh, you guys do that so very, very, very well. I hope you do it each and every day. Here we go. Matthew 7, 1 through 6, judging others. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. How is that for some scripture this morning here at IBC? Are you ready to unpack it and learn it? You ready? You guys be seated. Here we go. As always, let me give you just a little bit of historical background, because I think you need some historical background before we get into really the meat of the message. So, based upon other messages, who wrote the book of Matthew? All right, that wasn't a rhetorical question. Let's go ahead and answer it. You won't throw me off if you do it right here when I ask you that, all right? This is Matthew. And I won't give you a lot of history, but to say Matthew is, of course, he's the author, like you said. When you look and read the book of Matthew, you're going to see that he's basically saying this, that Christ is the Messiah. Christ is the eternal King. He is the Savior. So these verses today happen to be, like I said, the part of the Sermon on the Mount Jesus was teaching to some of his disciples, okay? And these sermons probably covered a few days of preaching by Christ. They probably wasn't all at just one time. It probably happened over several days of teaching. So in his preaching, he talked about the law. Jesus talked about people's position in society, their authority and money are not important in his kingdom. But what matters is the faithful obedience that the heart has unto Jesus Christ and what he set forth in Scripture. So also the Sermon on the Mount challenged a lot of legalistic and proud religious leaders of that day. And he was teaching them that heartfelt obedience is more important than legalistic observance. Today's message is Jesus' teaching about judging others. So Matthew 7:1, it says, "Do not judge so that you won't be judged," is probably, believe it or not, now the most memorized verse next to John 3:16. Who knows John 3:16? Who wants to say it out loud nice and loud? Anybody want to say it nice and loud? Who's got it? What? For God, I'll search you out. "For God so loved the world," let's say it together, "that he gave..." Man, you guys sound like you're a bunch of assemblies. Almost sounded like tongues in here. That's awesome. John 3:16. And probably the reason why the other one's probably more, it's a little shorter, "don't judge me," that kind of thing. They kind of forget the rest of it, right? So it's easy to do. It's easy to throw out there. That one's just a little bit longer. But if you grew up in church, you pretty much, that was the go-to verse, which is a very powerful verse, of course. But this verse in Matthew chapter 7, it's often misunderstood by many, and it's often misunderstood by a lot of churchgoers as well. And many people take this verse to mean that we are never, never to make judgments regarding people, circumstances, and the things of life. But if you pay attention to how Jesus will teach in these scriptures, and of course put it in context with others, you'll figure out just a little bit different story about what's going on. You will see that we all will be making judgments about some things, but that we better be careful about the kinds of judgments that we do make. You got that? So first of all, it's on the screen. "Judge not that you be not judged." If you're taking notes, write that down. We're going to break this verse by verse almost. So here Jesus moved to another thought in the Sermon on the Mount. He had primarily dealt with themes connected with this interior spiritual life things, these matters, attitudes in giving, attitudes about prayer, attitudes about fasting, materialism, and anxiety over these material things. Because if you have a lot of material things, you'll also have sometimes this a little bit of anxiety to go along with those material things, all right? So now he moves into this important theme related to the way we think and actually treat others that are before us. And if you can recall in an earlier teaching, Jesus called for a righteousness that was greater than that of the scribes and that of also the Pharisees. If you go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. So in the way some people think, the way to make oneself more righteous is to be more than judgmental about others. That's the way that we're viewing things, all right? So Jesus here rebuked that kind of thinking by these people. So with this command, Jesus warned against passing judgment upon others, because when we do so, we will be judged in a similar manner. So does this mean we have absolutely, does it mean that we have absolutely no right to judge others outside the court? Some of you guys are going, I don't know yet. So like I stated earlier, those who seem to know nothing about the Bible and to throw verses out of context, this is a very popular verse, and it's used a lot today. I've even heard it in the media today, and they're using it incorrectly. And most people who quote this verse don't understand what Jesus was saying. They seem to think or hope that Jesus' command is this universal acceptance of any lifestyle of teaching, and we just accept it all for what it is. So just a little earlier or later in the same sermon in Matthew 7, verses 15 and 16, Jesus commanded us to know ourselves and others by what? The fruit of their life. And some sort of assessment is necessary to be able to know about that fruit in someone's life, correct? The Christian is called to show unconditional love. We know that. But the Christian is not called to unconditional approval. There is a difference. I hope we understand that. There is a difference. So, while this does not prohibit examining the life of others, guys, it is certainly prohibits doing it in the spirit that it's awfully done in is wrong. I think a good example of unjust judgment were the disciples. If you go to Matthew chapter 26, where they condemned the woman who came to anoint the feet of Jesus with oil. Do you remember that story? They thought she was wasting something valuable upon Jesus' feet. Jesus said she had done a good work that would always be remembered. So, when they did this, what kind of judgment do you think they had upon this woman? And what kind of judgment do you think they probably even had on Christ himself? It was harsh. It was unfair. It was attacking. And that's a lot of ways that we sometimes will judge someone, and then somebody, that's why they throw that phrase out, don't judge me, right? We're doing it not in a so-called decent way. So when we do break this command Jesus taught about judging others, what does it usually look like? Well, how about when we think the very worst of others? Is that when we do it? Or when we judge with angry motives, or we judge maybe with some hidden motives? When we don't stop and look in the mirror at our own lives, have we ever judged somebody else when we really haven't stopped to look at the mirror, or what kind of man or what kind of woman that we are, whether or not we should do this or not? How about when we don't stop and think what we have done is also to be judged correctly? So, write this down. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. I hope you understand this. Guys, Jesus did not prohibit, listen closely, he did not prohibit the judgment of others. I hope we get that. If you read the entire context and place it within what and why he was teaching this topic, you will know he only requires this, that our judgment be completely fair, all right? And that we only judge others by a standard we would also like to be judged by. We get that? I hope so. Let me ask you, is there a person in this room that would like to be judged unfairly this morning? Anybody want to be judged unfairly for all your sins in the world that you've created? I wouldn't. We all want fairness, or we should want that kind of fairness. If you want it in your own life, then why wouldn't you want that kind of life in somebody else's, right? That kind of fairness. When our judgment in regard to others is wrong, guys, it's often not because we judge according to a standard, but because we are hypocritical in the application of that standard. We ignore the standard in our own life. And this is what Jesus is talking about. You know, it's pretty much typical to judge others by one standard, and then we judge ourselves by another standard at times, don't we? And for the most part, we can be generous and forgiving to ourselves, but when it comes to that other person, we might not be so generous and loving and forgiving and understanding and so forth, and we can be critical, we can be hypocritical and judgmental. So with the judgment you judge, you will be judged, and then with the measure you see, it will be measured back to you. Put that on the screen, Colton. The next one up. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, this is the principle upon which Jesus built to command. Here's where we're going here, right? Pay attention. Here we go. Judge not that you be not judged. Basically saying, God's going to measure unto you, us, according to the same measure you use for others. How's that for an open picture there? Open your mind here. This should motivate us to be generous with, like I said, with your love, with your forgiveness and goodness and mercy towards others, especially the body of believers. If we want more of those things from God, guys, we should give more of them than to others. We should show that to others. Think about it this way. We should only judge another's behavior when we are mindful of the fact that we ourselves will be judged. And we should consider how we want then to be judged. Again, would some of you guys or all of you guys want to be judged unfairly? I don't think you would. So here's an illustration of Jesus' principle regarding judging. And this is on the screen as well. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Now, don't you just enjoy how Jesus uses these real life figures and uses it in a humorous way to his disciples? A speck and a plank are real figures of Jesus today, of then, and it's real today. Jesus shows how we are generally accepting to our own sin than we are then the sin of somebody else, the sin of others. Jesus used these beautiful, exaggerated, humorous pictures to make his message easier to understand and probably make him a little bit more memorable, because how many of you guys have probably read this scripture before and you guys have said, oh, that's easy to remember, and you probably remember it today, right? You just do. Even the lost world remembers this kind of passage, but they X a lot of it out. They don't like the rest of it. So it's a humorous picture. A man with a board in his eye trying to help a friend remove the speck from a friend's eye. You can't think of the picture without smiling and be amused of it. Show that pic, Colton. Where it says, I think I've got something in my eye. And says, hey, don't worry. I'm going to help you get it out. Leave that up there for a while until we show the other one, okay? But you get the imagery here. So today, if anything, what you're going to remember off this entire message is probably these pictures of what this looks like. So an example of looking for a speck in the eye of another while ignoring the plank in one's own eye, guys, is found in John 8 as well. When the religious leaders brought this woman that was taken in adultery to Jesus. You remember the story? By the story, we know that she certainly sinned. We know that she messed up. But, and here is that conjunction that I was talking about last week, that however, that but statement. Jesus knew their sin was much worse, and he exposed it with the statement, he who is without sin among you, okay, let him throw a stone at her first. I love it. Called him on the carpet. When Jesus is telling them is this, what he's saying, says the person with the plank, all right, with the plank in their eye probably would not immediately be aware of it. This guy on the right's probably not too aware that he's got a plank in his eye, or if he does, he's doing a good job ignoring it. They are blind to their obvious faults that they have. It is the attempt to correct the fault of someone else when we ourselves have the same or maybe even greater fault that pretty much gives us the accusation of what Jesus said. You hypocrite. You hypocrite. You can't see the big plank in your eye and you're trying to get somebody's little splinter out of their eye? Jesus calls them a hypocrite who protest about wrongdoings in others and pays no attention to what is actually going on in their lives, right? They're so busy about other stuff, other people, about what's going on theirs, they can't see their own nasty way of life. Or that person might know their own sin, but not willing to do anything about it besides criticize those around. In our society, you guys know this, they're pretty good at seeing somebody else's flaw, but they don't even look at their own flaw. You know, what happens in life is that we find a way to ignore, possibly find a way to ignore your own plank, right, in your eye. But you know what happens? Usually, eventually, somebody else sees that plank. They either see it on down the road or they see it immediately. You know, a good example of this kind of hypocrisy was David. Are you familiar with the story with David in the Old Testament, Bathsheba and all this other kind of stuff that was going on? If not, go read it. But a good example of this was the hypocrisy of David's reaction to Nathan's story if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 2 or 12, write down 2 Samuel chapter 12 if you're taking notes. Nathan tells the story to David. It's about a man who unjustly stole and killed another man's lamb. You remember this? Nathan uses the story to prove a point to David, and David quickly condemned the man that Nathan was talking about, but was blind. David was blind to his own sin, which was probably much greater. You see, if you read the story, you will know the man that Nathan was talking about was who? David. It was David who unjustly stole and also killed. God used Nathan to point that out in David's life. So now listen closely, guys. Here's a good point. Jesus didn't say that it was wrong for us to help our brother and sister with a speck in his or her own eye. All right? It is a good thing. It's a good thing to help your brother or your sister with their speck, but not before dealing with a plank in your own eye. Verse 5, it says, after Jesus calls this guy a hypocrite, he says, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Show the second picture, Dalton. It says, ha-ha, you just told him that he has a splinter in his eye, and you have a beam in yours. How's that? Have we been in those positions before? I think you get the point here, right? Jesus is basically saying, help your brother and sister out, but first make sure if you don't deserve the same criticism. You get the point. Take a look at yourself in the mirror, then lovingly help them out. Guys, I'm saying that you don't have to. There's no way that you as a brother and sister in Christ, even myself, we cannot become sinless. Now, as a follower of Christ, learning and striving the kingdom life daily, we should be able to want to sin less often. It should cause us, hopefully, to sin less often. So you're always going to have some kind of sin in your life. Just make sure as you're going through this kingdom life that it doesn't supersede somebody else's and you're trying to correct the same thing that you're going through. And you fail to realize you're going through it. Don't forget my ADD kicks in. I'm easily distracted when I hear something. So then, in verse 6, don't give to what is holy to dogs. Now this is pretty cool stuff here. Don't give what is holy to dogs or toss your pearls before pigs, right? Or they will trample them with their feet, turn and tear you to pieces. So let's break this down a little bit as we did with the other verses. Write this down. Don't give what is holy to the dogs. Don't give what is holy to the dogs. So Jesus warned them against this blinded, this judgmental attitude that was going on. And he reminds them now, as his followers, to not stop having discernment of what is right and what is wrong. Okay? Have discernment of what is right and what is wrong. Remember, Jesus' teaching still applies to us today. It wasn't meant just solely for them. It applies to us today. So we as Christians have to discern. There are some good things that should not be given to those who will receive them with contempt. Make sense? Another word for contempt would be disapproval, or hatred maybe is a good word. If they respond in hatred or do not accept, then let them do this, as Jesus did with the rich young ruler, maybe. Walk away. Let them walk away. We still pray for them. We still want God to do wondrous, beautiful things in their life. But if they show contempt, they showed hatred, there is no reasoning with that kind of person. So in very simple terms, don't be judgmental, but don't throw out all discernment either. Let me say it again. Don't be judgmental, but don't throw out all discernment either. I barely got through that part. The dogs and swine are understood as this, as those who are more likely, listen closely, hostile now to the kingdom of God. That's what he's talking about. Our love for others can't blind us to their hardened heart rejection of the gospel of Christ and also his kingdom. Guys, it may be in Jesus' mind, the dogs and swine represent hypocritical, judgmental believers. Very possible. These sinning hypocrites should not be offered the pearls that belong to the community of the saints who don't want to listen and who do not want to obey. So, it says, nor cast your pearls before swine. Nor cast your pearls before swine. Now, are pearls of the precious gospel could possibly confuse those who don't believe. Let me explain. Who are actually then, they're blinded. Those that do not believe are blinded to the truth by God of this age. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, who is the God of the age? Little g here, it's Satan, right? And many expose the gospel to their hatred and ridicule. He does. Satan is the God of this age, and his work is to deceive, and he has blinded those who don't believe in Christ. However, the gospel is to do this. The gospel still is to be preached to every creature up on this earth, according to Mark chapter 16. But when you go to Acts chapter 19, verse 9, it says the Jews' hearts were hardened and spoke evil of the way before the multitude. The apostles left preaching them. They left preaching them. Jesus says he withdrew the disciples from this hatred. And sometimes we as Christians need to do the same thing. We need to remove ourselves from the hatred. Hatred. Jesus did not say this to discourage us from sharing the gospel. If anything, this makes me want to persevere even more. Previously, if you go back in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, I shared this some of already. In this very sermon, Jesus told us to let our lights shine before who? The world. Jesus used discernment and is calling us to use the same type of discernment, guys. He is also encouraging us to look and be prepared. Look for prepared hearts that are ready to receive Christ. You know, when we find those open hearts, probably more than likely we can trust that God has already been working in those hearts to give us those opportunities for us to be able to share. Guys, our responsibility is to present the gospel to the world and not judge the world, right? So, if you had a hard time understanding this, let me read to you what my study Bible had to say about it, because I didn't want to reinvent the wheel and I thought it was great. Jesus said this, we should not entrust holy teachings to unholy or unclean people. It is futile to try to teach holy concepts to people who don't want to listen and will only tear apart what we say. We should not stop giving God's word to unbelievers, but we should be wise and discerning in our witnessing so that we will not be wasting our time as well. Guys, it doesn't do any good to present to the lost and dying world when they view you with hate and all the hate is coming out. What you do is just stop. I love you. I'm going to be praying for you. Walk away. It doesn't do any good. Let God do the work in that. That's what Jesus is saying here. So let me wrap this up. Let me give you my final thoughts because I can go on here. So if you don't understand what Jesus is talking about here, and if I didn't break it down to you, that if you still don't understand it, let me try to make it now just a little bit clearer for you. Guys, I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, this past Wednesday, and he showed me an article about how it's not how the secular world sees it. It's not when the secular world sees this kind of text, this is not how they see it. They see it as judge not. They see it as judge not, and everything else is X'd out. Does that make sense? That's how the secularists see it. Jesus' teaching to not judge others doesn't mean we can't show discernment with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only Jesus said, don't give what is holy to the dogs and cast your pearl to swine, a little later in the same sermon, in verses 15 to 16, it says, watch out for false prophets. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Well, how are we to discern who are the dogs and pigs and false prophets unless we have the ability to make a judgment call in what it is, right? Especially in this politically correct age that we live in. So Jesus is giving us permission to basically do this. He's given us permission to tell right from wrong. We do have a right to say what is right and what is wrong. When Jesus said not to judge others, he didn't mean to mean no one can identify or call out sin for what it is, right? Based on God's definition of sin. You know, the Bible's command that we not judge others does not mean there should be no, I would say, mechanism in place for dealing with somebody else's sin. There has to be biblical mechanism in place, and Jesus' word gives us those mechanisms to be able to deal with it. That's why it talks about church discipline a time or two in the scriptures, doesn't it? We have to do that. In saying, do not judge, Jesus was not saying, hey, anything goes, right? This anything goes, have a good life. That's not what he's saying. John chapter 7, verse 24. John 7, 24. Jesus tells us to do this. All right? How about this? To judge correctly. To judge correctly. It says this, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead, he says, judge correctly. All right? Here we have a beautiful, wonderful insight to the correct type of judgment versus the wrong type of critical judgment that we're sometimes good at. Taking this verse, guys, and placing it with others, with some others, placing them in contextual view of what Jesus taught, we can put together a description of the sinful type of judgment that Jesus was talking about how to do. Okay? You know what Christians are often accused of? I just taught about it. What is it? Judging others. It's judging. Or, like I said earlier, or intolerance when we speak out against what God considers sin. Right? But according to Scripture, opposing sin is not wrong. It depends how you act upon that sin. So, putting this all together, don't judge unfairly. Don't judge unfairly. Judge righteously. Okay? Have discernment. Continually do this. Continually to evaluate your own life and make sure you are walking the path of righteousness before attempting to get the speck or log out of somebody else's eye. All right? We are to show love, and sometimes I would say some tough love in there, right, to those around us and share with them the truth of God's word as well. Our first, listen closely, church, our first and primary response to those outside the kingdom is to do what? Who knows? What? Say it loud. To love, to share the gospel of Christ so their eyes and ears will be open to know what this looks like even more, to know how to strive to live the kingdom life more. That is our reasoning with them. We are to share the gospel. Now, within inside these walls, we hold each other accountable, right? And we do that, and sometimes it comes across as judging, but Jesus is saying to us, be careful how you judge now. We want to make sure that you don't have a splinter, have that log, and if you got the same one, be careful. You know what I'm saying? Don't be overly critical, because it's kind of like that one finger pointing out, you got three more pointing back at you. So that's you got three more sins pointing back at you. But there's nothing wrong with holding somebody accountable in your life. There's nothing wrong with me calling somebody out on the carpet, but it depends how I do it. Right? If I do it out of hatred and I do it out of despisement and I don't recognize the stuff in my crud and on my own life, what good is it? Be careful. Whoa, I'm going to be judged as well the same way. So, we're to show love and sometimes tough love, but we're called to do it. Well, guys, I hope you understood. I hope you understand what I said today, what Jesus was teaching the first disciples, and that through this message, when you hear this verse, when you hear those words, don't judge me, that you will know more about what Jesus was teaching in his word to his disciples and know what he was actually teaching us about what that actually means. Because have we not heard it so much in our society, those words alone, don't judge me. We're not called to judge, right? Hope you understand it, and I hope you can apply it to your life today. If you didn't understand something, Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come see me. I want you to ask me a question. And if I can't answer it right then, or I think it's going to deserve, you know, a long Q&A time, we'll set up a time together and we'll discuss this and pick this apart more and learn and strive and just dig deep even better. Does that make sense to one of you guys? Anything you have to ask, just let me know. All right? So, other than that, that's all I have for you. Let's give God the glory, and I'm going to ask Donovan to come back up, and we'll do one more song. Father, we love you, and we thank you for these words you've given to Matthew, and I pray so much that we as at this church and in other churches, Father, as well, that when we look at topics like this, that first and foremost, what we need to do is look at our own lives. We look at our lives first to make sure that we are striving to live the kingdom life daily, that we're not being hypocritical, that we're not being judgmental in a hypocritical, condescending, hateful, unloving way, but we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to you so the churches and also the lost and dying world can see who you really are. Apply this in our lives today so we'll be able to be prepared to use it. I pray that this has given us more wisdom and more discernment of how to walk with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.